Reiner Schaug joins us. It's also very good at picking up your slice, according to Schauger. How you doing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can't hide at the golf den. You don't suddenly walk in. They may not like me for saying this, but it speaks to the accuracy. You don't just walk in there and suddenly you're a good golfer. If you're terrible, you'll be terrible at the golf den, too.
But they do give you teaching lessons if you choose.
They can, yes. They're good. They can come correct you and help you out. But my point is it's pretty accurate in the times where I've been there. Didn't all of a sudden turn me into a you know, guy who can shoot 80.
No, no. Does it yell four for you?
No.
That would be awesome.
No, it should, yeah. Yeah. I've sent it at more than a few houses at the golf den.
Yeah. Does it have like a cursor button? So when you curse, you get zapped?
No, nothing like that. Oh, okay. No, you close the door, you can do that all you want, as long as you just do it quietly to yourself.
So it's in sound. It's in like surround sound.
Yeah.
It's exactly. Echoing off the walls.
Yeah.
That's very perfect. Good. Perfect. Let's talk first about the trade today. What do you think?
Yes. I don't like it at all for Anaheim.
Ooh.
Don't like it at all. I'm a big Devontae Smith-Pelly fan. I felt that this should have been a target of the Oilers for the last two seasons. Don't like it at all. I don't know why they would have traded this guy. He's a good player. Plays the game hard. He's heavy. Hits. He can be fairly fierce. I know he's got some consistency issues, but he's trying to break through on a pretty good team that's got some decent players on his wing. But I would not have made this trade if I were the Anaheim Ducks. I wouldn't have moved this player for the return they got. I think Smith-Pelly will be every bit as good a player as the other guy.
Well, different type of players for sure, right?
Well, yeah, and Smith-Pelly's a tougher type of player to find, is he not? And he doesn't exactly, I mean, he's got a similar points total to the other guy. I mean, is Seacatch going to be that much more offensive?
Well, you talk to guys in Montreal, and you guess where Seacatch might get a chance in Anaheim?
Yeah, well, so is he going to play the right side there?
Lots of guys would be willing to switch wings if they play with Getzlaf and Perry.
Yeah, so I mean, I believe he's a left shot. So, sure, he'll play with Getzlaf and Perry. And yeah, it might work out good for both teams. Look, Devontae Smith-Pelly led the Ducks in playoff scoring last season, last time they were in the playoffs,
five
goals in 12 games. That was more than Getzlaf. That was more than Perry. He was really good for them in the playoffs. He's a young player. He's 22 years old, and he's still coming into his own. So I wouldn't have moved this player if I were Anaheim. And I think there are a lot of teams out there who would have been interested in this guy, and I thought he was one of those players that they would hang on to because he is developing into the almost like the Chris Stewart type mold. And I just wouldn't have moved a player that's young, physical, has offensive upside, and isn't afraid out there.
Do you think the Oilers had anybody in a similar position as Seacatch that they could have offered to Anaheim that they possibly would have considered?
No, probably not. I mean, I think Anaheim needed somebody that could step in right away and somebody who, I think, because these guys' contracts are pretty similar too, right? I think they're pretty close money-wise and duration-wise. They're the same age. I don't know who the Oilers have on their roster that Anaheim would have been able to fit, and I don't know who the Oilers have making similar money that would have made sense to Anaheim. I mean, the Oilers just don't have those good young forwards who are at the top of their minor league / bottom of their NHL roster who are offensive guys who look like they're going to come in and be players. They don't have those guys.
Yeah.
I don't think there was a fit unless they were looking to move someone unless they were looking to take a defenseman in return for him.
But. Yeah. Seacatch is $925. He's got a year left on his deal. Devontae Smith-Pelly's $800,000 a year left on his deal. For order forwards, $925, you're looking at Nail Yakupov, Tyler Pitlick, Eero Pakarinen, those are younger guys, or Anton Lander, but none of them have a contract for next season already.
Yeah, and what's Yakupov's cap hit, though? His cap hit's different than his number, though, right?
Well, no, his cap hit's not really the 375 anymore because they changed that rule, correct? Because he's not guaranteed those bonuses.
Yeah, well, I mean, if Anaheim gets a player they feel like they got a chance to use on their first line, then so be it and good for them. But I just wouldn't have given up Devontae Smith-Pelly to get it. I just wouldn't have. I just think this guy is a he's a good young player, and every time I watch Anaheim play, I think that's exactly the kind of forward. This guy could potentially play as a top six forward on the Oilers. He's got that kind of game, and he's got that kind of offensive potential. You talk about big, heavy, hard to play against. That's exactly what this guy is. You don't find that easily. And I've mentioned his name a number of times in the last few years that this is exactly the kind of guy the Oilers need to get to play in their top six. And here he moves for a guy. I mean, Tkach isn't a nobody, but he's an up and comer. But I mean, he's got 7 goals in 50 games this year in the NHL. So still relatively unproven.
Yeah, well, I think that's the big difference, right? Younger player, they look, and Anaheim has a lot
of
big.
They're both 22.
Yeah, I know, but Smith-Pelly's been in the league longer, right?
Yeah,
that's
sure.
All I'm saying. So I think if you're Anaheim, you're looking for some diversity in your lineup. They've got a lot of bangers and crashers. Like Smith-Pelly, you're right, he did score the 5 goals, but he had no assists, right?
Yeah.
And if you look at his just overall production in Anaheim, for whatever reason, I think they have a lot of similar type guys, right? They just drafted another big kind of bruising forward. I think they were looking for a guy who's just more of an offensive player, and that's what Tkach is as far as pure offense.
I mean, you look at 2013-14 during the regular season, Smith-Pelly played 19 games in the NHL, had 10 points. Right, that's a 40-plus point player. He would have been 21.
Okay, but look at him now, right? Like, everybody can have we've all seen Nail Yakupov's proof
for sure.
In the pudding that a short stretch doesn't necessarily guarantee that you will do that long term.
Yeah, for sure, but he's young, right? Then he goes back to the minors, and he puts up points in the minors, put up points in the NHL when he was there. This year, yeah, his point totals aren't there. And I mean, I don't know if there's off-ice issues or consistency issues or if conditioning, or I'm not sure if there are other issues surrounding Devontae Smith-Pelly. Seems to me I've read some stuff in the past, but he's a 22-year-old kid still, and he's still coming. So I just feel like that's the kind of player that organizations are looking for, and I'm surprised the Ducks moved him and that it didn't take more to get them to move him.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I talked to guys in Montreal. They're pretty high on Tkach, right? Like, he's only played 50 NHL games. Undrafted mm-hmm. player, kind of a nice diamond in the rough that they found. Mm-hmm. Also 22. I think Montreal probably wins the trade today for a guy who can help them, especially what they need. I think Tkach, though, his offensive potential is something that intrigues Anaheim, and that's why they made the deal.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, he's going from a really good team in the East to one of the best teams in the West. And he's just going to all of a sudden step in and provide a whole bunch of offense. I don't know how that works.
Question.
We'll see. I mean, if he wasn't able to produce more offense in Montreal, I guess we'll see. If he's going to play with Perry and Getzlaff, if he can keep up with those guys, if that's realistic, then maybe it's a good fit for them. So we'll see. We'll see between now and the end of the season who has more points and who does more in the playoffs for their respective teams, because they're both going to see postseason action. So let's mark it down on the calendar to revisit this one on June 1st.
Would you have traded Yakupov for Smith-Pelly? We've had a lot of texters asking.
Probably would take a little bit. It would take more than that.
Oh yeah,
than Smith-Pelly, I think, to move Yakupov. So I would have considered Smith-Pelly as a big piece of the return in a Yakupov trade for sure. That's the kind of shift the organization needs to make within their top six. That's precisely what we've been talking about. So I definitely would have considered Smith-Pelly in a Yakupov trade, but there would have been need to be more. Going with Smith-Pelly to Edmonton for that to make sense.
Reiner Schaug from TSN joins us. Nick Leddy, defenseman, 23 now. He'll be 24 next year when his contract kicks in. It's a 7-year deal, cap hit of $5.5 million, and it starts out at $4 million and just goes up by $500,000 every year. What do you think of the deal?
Yeah, I mean, it gives them a little bit of certainty. They're banking that he maintains kind of top-pairing-type status. Top three defenseman anyways type status, and I think you could make the argument that without Boychuk, maybe things change a little bit for him, but I mean, that's not a guarantee. They're the ones evaluating him every game, and if they feel like he can carry it, then that's their analysis of it. But I'm just impressed with the Islanders in general, the way they did this with their decor, because they were able to turn it around pretty quick. And if you look at their, I was looking at their stat sheet, I mean, they have four defensemen that have 20 or more points. already this season. Boychuk is leading the way with 28. Letty's right there with 25 points, and they're scoring some goals. The Oilers have one defenseman that has 20 or more points. And these guys are sitting there with four. So it's a good blue line. I think it probably means that Johnny Boychuk is not going to be signed. My guess is, and this is just strictly guessing, if you were looking at those two trying to figure out who to get a deal done with, you start with Boychuk, you see if it's possible, and if it's not possible, you lock up Letty. That would be my sense of the way this played out. So this would tell me Johnny Boychuk is heading to market.
You don't think they have, and I'm looking at their cap situation to say, okay, do they have the money that they could lock up Johnny Boychuk? Because keep in mind, they lose $6 million in actual dollars, 4.75 in cap hit from Lubomir Vasilevskiy, right? So Johnny Boychuk right now is making 3.3. Now, Nick Letty basically just went from 2.7. He'll go up to 5.5. He basically, there's 1.75 left of Lubomir Vasilevskiy's money. Right? So that puts Boychuk then up to 5.2. If they bump him up to, let's say, 6.2, that's really only adding $1 million to sign him from what their payroll is right now, because they're going to not re-sign Lubomir Vasilevskiy.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily know that it's about whether they have space or not. That wasn't really my point. Yeah. My point was, I think they would have pursued Johnny Boychuk aggressively to try and get an extension done, and it sounds clear that that's not going to happen, just, or at least to me, the tea leaves say that's not happening. I would have started with Boychuk, found out what his number was, tried to find a way to make it work, negotiated, and if it looks like it's not working, now you can do the deal with Letty. But to me, there's clearly a priority in Boychuk, and so one of two things: either he said he's not willing to talk about it now and visit him in the off season, or he said he's not interested in an extension at this time and likely heading to market. But I would say this is an indication that there wasn't a deal to be had with Boychuk. Never mind the cap space.
Interesting. I wonder if they look at him and say, we need both. We want both. And, 7 years for him. You know, Johnny Boychuk at his age, he's 30. I don't think he would get a 7-year deal anyway, but I could be wrong. Somebody probably will. He'll be 31, I think, by next season anyway. So I'm curious. Yeah. I think the Islanders still could easily get Boychuk. And if anything, maybe this shows Boychuk, man, Tavares, they're committed to a lot of their young guys long term in Long Island. And he's probably hoping that he can be a part of it. Maybe we'll see.
Yeah, well, and it just all depends on what the guy wants, right? He's got unrestricted free agency staring him in the face. He can go anywhere in the league he wants. He can totally chase the money if he wants. And to make it all work on Long Island, it looks like they have a reasonable amount of space to give him a good deal, but he could chase the dollars elsewhere, and somebody will probably put more. Someone will put more than $6 million on the table for this guy. That's just the way free agency goes. And that will happen. So I think my gut is he wants to chase it a little bit, and we'll see what happens.
It'll be interesting, Shara, quickly on the Edmonton Oilers, Yakupov out tonight. It's the right decision to play Jeff Petrie.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it was smart of them to rest him. I was fine with the idea that they give him some rest and let him heal up, because what you don't want is you don't want a guy to get hurt and then come back and play and then end up missing more games after that, because now it looks like it's an issue. Whatever the injury is an issue. Whereas he gets banged up, you give him the amount of time he needs to get better and then throw him back in the lineup. I think it's fine to put him in the lineup now. It sounds like he's not really at big risk of further injury to it. And it's important to get him into a couple of games before the deadline to show people that he's there, he's good to go, and he's playing. So I think they handled it well.
Yeah, to me, people suggesting that he should sit out tonight. No, I don't. You owe it to your team, and yeah, you got to send the message. Hey, if guys are ready to go, then they can play. It's bruised ribs. It's not a knee or anything like that. And I think he'll play tonight. Maybe it's his final game. Maybe they trade him before Saturday. But definitely, at the most, he's got two games left. Shauger, have yourself a good day. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, buddy. Look forward to it.